Revelation 15, 1 through 5. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This is very similar to right before the last trumpet. Again, we have a situation in which something is about to happen in John's visions of glory, but it's not going to happen until the saints praise God first. And so they sing this song of Moses, except for now it's not just called the song of Moses. If you are listening to verse 3, or if you have a Bible and you're following along, it's now also called the song of the Lamb, one greater than Moses. And the deliverance that they are singing about is a deliverance greater than the deliverance from Egypt and at the Red Sea, where we had the song of Moses. And the devastation of God's enemies is greater than that which took place at the Red Sea. In fact, instead of the Red Sea, what appears in this sign vision is a sea of glass and fire. Either perhaps a platform of glass with fire underneath it, or perhaps shards of glass and fire. Either way, the saints are above it, and the enemies are devastated and destroyed. But again, greater than the difference between the deliverance and the devastation is the difference, between the deliverance and the devastation is the difference between the two deliverers. In fact, the song of the Lamb now is great and marvelous Lord God Almighty, the just and true King of, and majority text, and critical text actually agree against Erasmus's text here, the just and true King of the nations. He is the glorious and holy Lord, if you look at verse 4. And so, the deliverer, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself, and the combination of these names does belong to God, but especially to the God-man, the Redeemer King over all the nations, the anointed son of Psalm 2 and Psalm 72 and Psalm 110 and so forth. Everywhere we see that the forever king under whose feet the nations are placed and who shatters the nations with his rod of iron is our very own Lord Jesus, our Redeemer. And so his devastating them means his completing our deliverance and our salvation. So the apostle sees the angels with the bowls, with the seven last plagues. And what are they waiting for? Well, from the passage, they're waiting for the worship of the saints. This time it's not exactly like last time, because last time it was the incense of the saints' spoken prayers. But this time, in this cycle, it's pictured as the harps of sung prayers, songs. Here again, as we have been learning throughout the book of Revelation, the Spirit teaches us that in his greatest works, God often ordains to do them as response to the prayers of and praises of his people. Indeed, he delays them until those prayers and praises. And we've actually seen this many times. We saw it fairly recently with Samuel and the Philistines and offering the sacrifice as the Philistines were attacking, and the Israelites saying, "Don't stop praying for us." And we've seen, if you're reading along in 2 Chronicles, you've seen Hezekiah have a worship service, and the Lord delivers his people in response to that worship service. And I think we saw the same with Jehoshaphat as well. And so you see how often God ordains that he will respond to his people's worship by giving them a great deliverance and bringing great defeat upon the enemies of the church. Note what the content is of this praise and prayer. It is especially those coming works of which, though the works have not yet happened, the saints are perfectly sure. They're actually praising God as if it were past tense for what he was about to do. What an encouragement unto praise and prayer this is. Yes, we are commanded to praise God and to pray, so it is our duty to pray praises and to sing prayers, to sing praises as well. But since we see what a great place God has assigned to our praising and our praying, that he actually responds to them by carrying out the works for which we praise him, we see that it's not just a duty, it's also a great privilege to open our mouths and lift up our hearts and praise the Lord for what he will do. And he has ordained that he will respond to that by carrying it out. What a support this is to saints who are still in the battle from which those in verse 2 have now emerged victorious. We can be so sure of what God has promised and Christ has secured and the Spirit has guaranteed that we may rejoice in it already as if it were completed. And indeed, our rejoicing is in God himself and his glory. And it is even by this rejoicing and in response to it that he will bring the work to completion. Very similar application here then to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the already certainty, even though it has not yet come, of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we are certain that we shall be saved from his wrath. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and we rejoice in God himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in that rejoicing, God responds to it by carrying out his work of delivering his saints and defeating his enemies. So let us rejoice in God tonight in prayer.